is, I'll say. Let us worship Christ, our Savior. Let us worship Christ. He is our Savior. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Him. Let us worship Christ, our Lord.
Praise the Lord, this is the Father's house.
Yes, it is.
This is not the hog pen. There is peace in the house, joy in the house, salvation in the house, healing in the house, prosperity in the house. Everything you need is in the house. Everything you want is in the house. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. Glory
Amen.
To God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We thank you for this Pastor Appreciation Day, all the preparations that have been made, and the blessings we're about to receive. And hallelujah. We pray that you'll open our eyes this morning that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear, and give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority of the believer, that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. All right, we're in the book of Acts. Unless we want to go to Revelation.
I have strict orders from Mary.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard.
But I'm not going to tell you.
You won't tell on us if we do. All right. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 15. Beginning in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed. So here we see that some of the Pharisees were Christians. Amen, they were. That's what it means to believe, right?
Yep.
Saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men, brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared, this is Simon Peter, how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders, pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, named Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who also shall tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from meats offered to idols, and from blood, and from things strangled, and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves you shall do well. Fare you well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle, which then when they had read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. So right here we see that Judas and Silas were prophets. So we got two prophets here. And this was after John, right? This was after John the Baptist. And there are people, of course, there are churches that teach that there aren't any more prophets, because that scripture is one scripture that says the law and the prophets were until John. So they think, well, for some odd reason, they take that scripture to mean that there aren't any more, there never were any more prophets after John, although they're all over the book of Acts.
That's right.
They're all over everywhere. We know, of course, that there were at least five prophets that were named in Acts chapter 13, verse 1. And then we got two more named right here, Judas and Silas. And then we know that Agabus was a prophet, because we've seen him a couple of times. We've seen him once already. We're going to see him again in a few more chapters. So we've got prophets all over the place. How in the world people can say there aren't any more prophets is beyond me. We've got apostles. Well, hold that for just a minute. we got prophets. We got teachers, evangelists, and pastors. That's four of the fivefold ministry. Why would we just all of a sudden need to leave out apostles? Why would we keep four and drop one, which is really the most important one of the whole outfit anyway, is the apostle? Questions. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense at all to me. But you know, of course, there are a lot of people, not too many that we run into every day, not around here, probably on our jobs we run into them. People who consider themselves to be cessationists. You know what that is? Cessationists. Those who believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased since the first century, and the gifts of the Spirit no longer operate since the first century. It's truly amazing. And it's sort of like this, the same mindset will tell you, these people who say that there are no apostles and prophets anymore are kind of in this same mindset, that for some odd reason the Lord just stopped calling apostles and prophets, although they were obviously needful to start the church. And if they were needful to start the church, why wouldn't they be needful to end the church, since that's why they were given in the first place, to bring the church unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? Why would they all of a sudden just not need them anymore? And then why would the gifts of the Spirit cease to operate? So it seems to me, if you've got, as long as you can prove that God is calling one of the fivefold ministry, if God's still calling pastors, if he's still calling teachers, just one, just pick one. Is he still calling pastors? Well, then he's still calling all five. Okay, and as far as the gifts of the Spirit are concerned, if we're still speaking in tongues, then we have all the gifts of the Spirit.
Yeah.
So if he didn't take them all, he didn't take any of them.
That's right.
Right? I mean, why would he just pick one, eeny, meeny, miny, mo? Why would he do that? We don't have any scripture for that, you know. But so that's some of the crazy mindset that is out there. But we see here we've got a couple of prophets. I don't know what these people do with these guys, Silas and Judas. They're prophets. amazing.
That's
hard. Yes.
What are apostles? There is a lot of people that are labeling themselves as apostles.
Well, we got onto that a little bit in our Revelation class, if you recall. And so we'll take that up again in our Revelation class. Brother Renner, in his book, A Light in Darkness, goes into a great teaching about what apostles. Well, you know, Brother Hagin did also. We can discuss that some more, Brother, in a Revelation class.
As a minister, I used to know, and he flowed just even gifts of spirit, you know. But he would often say this. He said, "I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet," you know. And I kind of, why would he say that as often as he did?
I don't know why he would say that. Amos said that. Amos said that. "I was not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, yet the Lord called me anyway." That's taken from the book of Amos. And that's just a quotation from the book of Amos. I don't know why he would be quoting that, or if he even knows why he would be quoting that, but these are strange times, okay? Right now, people are coming out of the woodwork claiming to be prophets and have words about this election. Okay, just you know. They're coming out of the woodwork claiming, you know, the Lord said this, the Lord said that, you know, and a lot of them are just completely opposite of one another. Completely opposite of one another. These guys claim to be prophets, and they claim to have words from the Lord. And frankly, I have serious doubts that the Lord has told anybody, and let me say it this, I've got to be careful how I say this. I have serious doubts that the Lord has given anybody a word about this election. I have serious doubts that anybody has gotten a word from the Lord about this election. Brother Hagin used to say, now, Brother Hagin taught, and he's written, that God, now I'm going to tell you, he said, God will not tell anybody who's going to win an election. That's what Brother Hagin said. And Brother Hagin considered himself to be a prophet. He believed he was, and I believe he was. I believe he did operate in that office. But he said this, and the more I listen to these folks, the more I'm convinced that he's probably right, because I don't think any of these people know anything about what they're talking about. I don't believe any of them. I mean, they're saying two different things. They're saying the totally opposite things, and I don't believe any of them. How is that possible? You got to believe something. I don't know about that. But I don't believe any of them. I mean, we've got folks out there preaching at us and telling us that, you know, we're going to be guilty of murder if we don't vote for X, and you know, and all kind of stuff, and I don't believe any of it.
This election has been the worst election for the United States.
So anyway, it's peculiar, but you know, we need to be really careful. When we start saying, you know, I'm a prophet, I mean, it was serious back in the Bible times. You could be killed for that. If you made yourself out to be a prophet and you weren't, you could be killed. You could be stoned. Nowadays, of course, everybody. Not everybody, but an awful lot of people are running around claiming to be prophets. So that's the opposite end. So you got one group of folks that says there aren't any more prophets since the first century and never have been. And now we got a bunch of folks saying everybody's a prophet. Everybody. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Well, obviously, the truth is somewhere in between. Not all of these folks that are giving out words and telling us things about the election are, obviously they're not, they don't know what they're talking about.
And then when it don't come true, they better know that they wasn't
prophets. I don't think any of it's going to come true. I've heard, you know, the exact opposite. You know, there's all, you got to, Job said the ear tries words like the mouth tries meat. And so you got every word that is spoken ostensibly in the name of the Lord. You've got to sift that word. You've got to be careful with that word. And judge that word by the word of God. And how does it set in your spirit? How does that go along with the word of God? And you know, we have a responsibility not to be deceived. How many times did Jesus tell us not to be deceived? Be not deceived. We're in the last days. We're not in the last 7 years of the last day. That's for sure. We're not in the last 7 years. We haven't got there yet, but we're close. We're getting to the point where there's great deception going out. There's great deception everywhere. I've never seen a time quite like this, that there was such great deception. That people that we trust, ministers that we trust, are saying weird and goofy stuff about this election. And it's just weird and goofy. And I don't pay any attention to any of it. And so we need to really be careful. This is a dangerous time.
You're right. There's a lot of confusion. People talk to me. I had someone ask me, who should I vote for? You know, for president. And yeah, that's a hard question to ask. And basically just came to the conclusion that, you know, what you ought to do is you take your ballot, you don't ask who's the best man for the job, you don't ask who's the most righteous man or who's the most moral man, you don't ask, you know, all these things, that's what we're asking, right? We should just say, God, who should I vote for? You know, because you think about it, you know, Ahasuerus, you know, the king who had Esther.
Esther's king, yeah.
He wasn't a righteous man.
No, he wasn't.
Okay, he wasn't a righteous man. But God could use him, right? Cyrus wasn't a righteous man. But God used him to return the Jews to Jerusalem, you know, and to Judea. So, you know, if God didn't use unrighteous men, I don't know nothing to get done in the world. You know?
Yeah, that's true.
None of us are righteous, no, not one sort of thing. So, you know, you look at Esther, and one thing that you see in Esther that we don't see today is that the people prayed. They prayed that the king would make righteous decisions, right? And we, I think, as a people of the United States, we used to pray for our president, that he would make righteous decisions. In the past few years, we've been praying against our president.
We haven't been praying
for him. We've been praying against him, right? I mean, the whole idea is, oh man, this old dead bad. I don't even go pray for him. You know, just pray against him. And so maybe we need to get back and say, you know, I'm going to start praying for whoever winds up in that position. Not who God puts in that position, but whoever winds up in that position.
Yeah.
God change their heart. God change their mind. God give them
God. Faith. Yes, that's true. Paul told us to pray for those who are in authority.
Yeah.
Now, you know, another thing, not all politics is national. As a matter of fact, they say a lot of times all politics is local. And there's a lot of truth to that we do have in our own state races. We have people running for office in this state who are really good people, really good and moral people. And we do need to pray for our governor, pray for our judges in the state of Alabama, pray for our justices in the state of Alabama, and the people who run the state of Alabama. We need them to be able to use wisdom. And I feel good about really praying for them, that they really do, for the most part, really try to do the right thing. They're us, you know, they're pretty good folks. And I feel, you know, good about praying for them. As far as some of these other folks out here, I don't know, just God help us. I don't know about some of these people.
You gotta pray harder for them.
Yeah. I don't know if I got enough faith to pray for some of these guys. I don't know. I don't know if I do. But anyhow, I mean, you know, you talk about praying for, you know, we expect our, we expect, what do we expect from our leaders, from our president? We would at least expect our president to be sane. Okay. Okay. That's one thing we should expect, to have a sane man or a sane woman as our president. But I won't, I think we're going to move on from there. Okay. Just give us a somebody with it that's sane, Lord. Okay. And after they had tarried there a space, so I would say, you know, don't, I know some of you are hearing some of these words that are given out by these so-called prophets. Yeah. I don't pay any attention to any one of them, not any of them. I don't listen to any of them. I listen to them to see what in the world they're talking about. What are they actually saying? And then I just toss it in file 13. It's time. Thank you, sister. You're right. Okay, brother.